Blog Talk Radio.
What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name in that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting.
Israel family and listening audience, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Like always, I'll recommend that everyone grab all your study tools, your iPads, your notepads, your pens, your pencil, your highlighters, your Bibles, you know, concordance, all those things that are needed for good study. And I, like always, I'll ask, can someone send me a shout out or a thumbs up, let me know that I'm being heard clearly. Like always, we're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. It is through thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and soon coming King, that we are having an opportunity to give you praise. We thank you, Yahushua, for leading and guiding us throughout the course of this week. We thank thee for thy protection that you've given us. We thank thee for the healing that you've given us, the comfort, the support, in being what we needed you to be throughout the course of this week. As we approach the coming Sabbath, we ask of thee to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word, the kindness of your spirit, and to refresh the light that burns within us. Thee for healing the sick, strengthening the weak. We thank thee for being all that you can be for those who need you the most. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Yahushua, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We pray in Yahushua's holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Once again, I'm your host, Yara Al. And we're going to have, another brief study. Now, this study was named or labeled as, Who Am I? Who Am I a Helper To? And one of the things that brought this on is, you know, last week we was talking about what type of sacrifice are we and sacrificing ourselves to the Mighty One. Sacrificing ourselves to keep the law, statutes, and judgments, and to do the work of Yahushua as he burns in us, as his light shines through us. Then that's where the thought came as far as a helper is concerned, because we're actually helping Yahushua in this world today because he has given us power and dominion to heal the sick. We'll get into that, some scriptures that support that. So that's where this whole comes from. But when the thought came to mind, it came to mind in Genesis. But before we get into the scriptures, there's a couple of scriptures I want to start off with, and like always, a couple of definitions that I want to, you know, put on your mind as we go through tonight's study. And the first scripture we're going to talk with is Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And it reads, For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And from this scripture, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. And it reads, For you are the children of Yah, through faith in Yahushua. For as many of you as were baptized into Yahushua have put on Yahushua. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor freeman, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Yahushua. And as we go through and read various scriptures throughout the course of the night, I want everyone to bear in mind these two scriptures. And I also want you to bear in mind these two definitions as we go through. And one of the words we have to understand is context. And the definition for the word context, this is one of the definitions. The part of a discourse that surrounds a word or passage and can throw light on its meaning. So as we go through the scriptures tonight, pay attention to the context of the scriptures as to us as being believers today, as us being identified as Israel. Because as we go through the scriptures, Israel has been referred to as a wife, as a bride, as a woman, as a church, and as children. So when we go through the scriptures, sometimes we have to look at these different connotations of Israel and to understand what is being taught to us through the scriptures so that we can understand what the scriptures want us to understand and how through our understanding of the scriptures, then we can correct ourselves with the understanding of the scriptures. And another term I want everyone to understand is the term interdependent. And that word is spelled interdependent. Just want to put that out there just in case someone didn't know how to spell it. And it means dependent upon one another, mutual dependent. So as we go through the scriptures again, you know, I'll bring that how, you know, that word comes into play within our scriptures tonight. And another thing I want everybody to bear in mind is it's okay to do this. When in doubt or lacking understanding, ask questions. It's all right to do that because we as individuals don't know everything. And someone may have been through a situation and can help you out. Someone may just know the answer. And it's all right to ask questions. See, because we're going to go through a couple of scriptures where, you know, people didn't understand something and they didn't ask questions. As a result, we have a level of learning that we can learn from others' mistakes. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis. Like I said, we're going to start off in Genesis. And that's always a good starting point to begin. And we're going to start at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. And it reads, Yahweh created man in his own image. In Yahweh's image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Yahweh blessed them. Yahweh said to them, Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So now we're going to go to the word dominion. And that is 7287 in your Hebrew lexicon, Hebrew concordance. And that word is radah, and it means to reign, to have dominion, rule, dominate, to prevail against. The primary root is to tread down, i.e. subjugate. So one of the things I did, I looked up the word subjugate, and subjugate means to bring under control and govern as a subject. So one of the things that we have saying that in the beginning, when the Father created man, he gave man dominion over the things of the earth, the things of the air. And he told him to be fruitful and multiply. But at this time, we have to remember that it was just Adam. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 15 to 24. And it reads, Yahweh Elohim took the man and he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Yahweh Elohim commanded. No, we're going to stop here for a minute and read it again. Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So from here, what we're going to see is that Yahweh took the man from whom he created in his image and his likeness and put him in the Garden of Eden to keep it, to take care of it. Because before this time, the water came up from the ground and watered it. But no one was there to tend the garden. So he put man there. Verse 16, Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So right here, we've been down this road before. So he gives man a command while he was tending the garden. Gave him a command. Verse 18. Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So this is our term that we're going to, who am I a helper to? That's the title of this selection. So the word helper comes from 58:28. And that is Azer. And the definition is a help, a helper, and it comes from Azar, and that is 58:26. And that means to help, succor, and that means, and that's also a primitive root to surround, to protect, to aid. Now, I looked the word succor up, and it means relief, aid, or help. So when we look at this term, helper, see, when Adam or man was put in this garden, he was put in this garden by himself. And Yahweh seen that he needed some help, someone to assist him, someone to give him relief, someone to give him aid. So we go to verse 19. It says, out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would call them. Whatever man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to all the birds of the sky, and to every animal of the field. But for man, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So going back to this helper, the Father realized that he was by himself. So what did he do? He went to start creating things. And these things that he was creating, he realized that none of these things were suitable to help man. Verse 21. Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. He made the rib, which Yahweh Elohim had taken from the man, into a woman, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and will join with his wife, and they will be one flesh." So now we're going to go to the term that I read earlier, interdependent. Depending upon one another, mutual dependence. See, because now what has happened? You had these two started off as one, now are two separate entities. But now they have to work together. They have to help each other, which brings them back to the unity in which they were once were. So now you have the two separate entities working together to be one. And that's where the interdependent come into play, working together to have one mutual purpose, working together. So from here, we're going to go to Numbers, chapter 30. We're going to read verses 6 to 8, and then we're going to read verses 13 to 15. And it reads, "If she is married to a husband while her vows are on her, or a rash utterance of her lips with which she has bound her soul, and hears it and holds his peace at her, in that day that he hears it, then her vow shall stand, and her bond that which she has bonded her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallows her in that day that he hears it, then he shall make void her vow which is on her, and the rash utterance of her lips for which she has bound her soul, and Yahweh will forgive her." So this is going to when a woman makes a decision. And when she makes that decision, she's bound by it. But if her husband hears of it and he says no, then she's no longer under that bond. Verse 13. "Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. If her husband altogether holds his peace at her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her bonds which are on her. He has established them because he held his peace at her in the day that she heard them, that he heard them. But if he shall make them null and void after that he has heard them, then he shall bear her iniquities." So now with this, this is saying that if a husband hears what a vow that a wife makes and he doesn't make it null and void, that means he takes on that responsibility. And then it's saying that if he later on decides to change his mind and make it void, then that iniquity is on him. Because when he first heard it, he was supposed to make it null and void, not make it null and void later down the line. So this is just going back to, you know, when we understand and being a helper. And these helpers, you know, working together, talking to one another in regards to an issue. We have to help one another in making solid decisions. But sometimes we as individuals, we make rash decisions. We make decisions based on the time in which we're in. Like one years ago, I used to say, every decision is a good decision at the time in which you make it. But later down the line, you realize that that decision was bad because of the recourse that comes down the line. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And it reads, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, this is talking about, you know, the men of the house teaching their children or teaching their households the ways of the Most High. And it's talking about when they sit down, I guess, you know, you can use when you sit down at dinner, when you can sit down in your free time, you know, when you, you know, right before you lay down, you know, you're giving praise and giving honor and thanking the Father for allowing you to get to this point. And when you rise up, giving praise and giving honor to the Father for allowing you to wake up. These are the things that fathers lead and guide and teach the household. From here, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 10 and 11. And it reads, "And that you are to make a distinction between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean, and that you are to teach the children of Israel, which Yahweh has spoken to them by Moses." Now, we're in Leviticus. Now, this is talking about Aaron and the priest. So, as we know, each man is a priest in his own home, and each man must teach his family the ways of the Most High, teaching them the laws, statutes, and judgments. So understand that the men must do certain things, and we've talked about this before in regards to the responsibility of the man. And the responsibility of the man is to teach the family the ways of Yah. And if the family doesn't know it, it is because the man has shunned his responsibility to his family. He has shunned his responsibility that has been given to him by Yah through the word. From here, we're going to go to Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. And it reads, "For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of armies." Remember what was said earlier, how each man is a priest in his own home. But at the same time, the priest is also the father of the congregation. And we, as children, we as students, for the priest is also considered the father of the congregation. And the father teaches the flock, teaches the children. And we also know that the priest is also the mediator between the father and the children. And we also know that the priest also has a connection with Yahushua. And we also know that Yahushua and the Father, Yah, are one. So we have to understand these different connotations when we go through the scriptures and reading them, and we must understand them. And the more we understand the scriptures, the more we can be in tune with what the Spirit says to us. From here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it reads, in chapter 14, verse 35 and 36. And it reads, if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to chatter in the assembly. What was it from you that the word of Yah went out, or did it come to you alone? Now, this scripture right here is in reference to women speaking in the assembly. And it's actually talking about women, you know, speaking in the assembly, but saying to them that they need to learn at home. Ask their husbands. See, like we said earlier, the husbands are the priests in the home, the teachers in the home. So the wives must go to their husbands and ask them. And see, as we go through the scriptures, there's a structure. See, because if a wife goes to her husband and asks something and he doesn't know, then he can go to elder and ask a question to get clarity, to get understanding, and then he can pass it on to his household, and so on and so on. See, one of the things that we've learned in the scriptures is how Moses was a 70. He set small courts, as we say, a base thing is 3. And then he had courts that included more people. Up to, we had a court of 70. So you deal with minor matters. You're dealing with these matters on the lowest level. And if you can't handle it, then you go to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. Ultimately, because what are you trying to do? You're trying to get an understanding of what is being asked. That's where I brought out in the beginning. If you don't know and you lack understanding, ask questions. And if you ask questions, that answer will come to you. But as we also learned, we have to be patient. We have to be patient with one another in order to gain the knowledge and the truth of Yahweh's word. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 42. And it reads, therefore Yahushua said to them, if Yah were your father, you would love me. For I came out and have come from Yah. For I haven't come of myself, but he sent me. From here, we're going to go. No, I'm going to stop here for a minute. I'm going to connect this with earlier when we was talking about Adam and how Yahweh created man after his image and after his likeness. And he said male, female, he created them and called them man. But later down the line, he put him to sleep and took a rib and brought forth the woman out of him. And this is the same right here. Yahushua came forth out of the Father to do a work. John chapter 3, verse 35, and it reads, for he whom Yah has sent, speak the word of Yah, for Yah give the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, who is the image of the invisible mighty one, the firstborn of all creation? For by him all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth, things invisible things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. Do we understand right now what is being said in regards to Yahushua? He is everything. He created everything. And he proceeded from the Father. And he also has the Spirit of the Father without measure. See, we as mortal men, Yahushua gives us his Spirit in measure. In measure, in measure. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 17, verse 2. And it reads, Yahushua said these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son might also glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, he will give eternal life all whom you have given him. See, the Father has given us to Yahushua. But do we believe that? And Yahushua has given us authority. He has given us that dominion that we once had, or that humanity once had, that humanity gave away. But Yahushua has given it back to us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 8. Verse 18, my fault. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And it reads, Yahushua came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So this is Yahushua letting the disciples know that he has authority. And this is what Yahushua did with that authority that he had, that he was given. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them forth to preach the kingdom of Yah and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Now after these things, Yahushua also appointed 70 others and sent them two by two ahead of him into the city and places where he was about to come. Then he said to them, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to Adonai of the harvest that he may send out laborers into his harvest. This is Yahushua giving authority to the 12 and giving authority to the 70 to go out and to heal the sick and to preach the kingdom of Yah to these people. See, that's what we have been done. That's what has been, That's what has been done to us. For we believe in Yahushua. So that work that was talked about is the same work that we must do until he comes back. We have been given the authority. We have been given the power over demons and to cure diseases. And we've talked about that before, diseases, dis-ease. We have been given the authority to ease people's minds. We have been given the power to rebuke demons. because we've read different scriptures in regards to when Yahushua was here on the earth, how they recognized that spirit of Yahushua. They recognized that spirit of Paul. They recognized that spirit of Peter. And as our faith builds in Yahushua, as our faith builds in the Word, those demons and those ailments will recognize us also. But we have to maintain faith. We have to be good helpers. And how we become good helpers? Like it's been said many times, through obedience of the Word. Through obedience of what's being told to us. And later on, we're going to go through some different examples of things being done and certain things being instituted. From here, we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 5. And it reads, "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Yah, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you." See, brought that up earlier. See, if we lack wisdom, we ask Yah. And Yah will send that spirit through his son, and his son will send it through whom he chooses to send that spirit through, so that you can get the understanding that you need, so that you can be a good steward over his word, so that you can be a good sacrifice for him. See, because when we sacrifice ourselves, like we learned last week, it is for his purpose. It is for his deeds, not our own. And see, and when we become helpers, we're helping him, not ourselves. We're doing the work for him. We're bringing glory to him. Because our strength is nothing. But it's through his strength that all things can be accomplished. Because he has shown us his authority. He has shown us his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And it reads, "But he who is spiritual discerns all things, and he himself is a judge, and he himself is judged by no one. For who has known the mind of Yah that he should instruct him? But we have the mind, but we have Yahushua's mind." And understanding this, when we go through the scriptures, where let's use Moses as an example. When he was talking to Yahweh up in the mountain and Yahweh wanted to get rid of Israel, it was that spirit that was in Moses that brought it a calm to Yahweh's mind and said, "Hey, you can't do that. That wouldn't be good. Because if you did that, then the Egyptian would say, you just brought these people out here to kill them. Change the mind of Yahweh." Realize and say, "You know what? You're right about that." You know, we have the example of Abraham. When Yahweh came down to, you know, get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham knew that his nephew was down there. And he pleaded with Yahweh for the sake of his nephew. And Yahweh considered what he said. He considered what he said. Why?
because he believed in his son. He believed in Yahushua. So that spirit of salvation, he acknowledged it. Moses was doing the same thing, interceding, trying to save Israel. Abraham was trying to save his nephew. And Yahweh heard what was being said. So we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing when we plead to the Father in that spirit of Yahushua. For as Yahushua grows in us, Yahushua said, the Father hears me. The Father even tells us that he hears Israel. He said he hears the prayers of the righteous. And the prayers of the righteous are striving to do the will of Yahweh. So here we're going, from here we're going to go into a couple of examples. And these examples are just talking about helping. These are couples helping, you know, helping and listening to one another. And this is some things that we need to do. And understanding that we are couples in our homes, you know, when we function as a congregation, we become a wife to Yahushua. You know, we become children when it talks about a father talking to his children and giving instructions. A parent helps a child and a child helps a parent. Our first example is going to be dealing with Adam and Hawa. And before I start this one off, just want to deal with, as we say, what Yahushua said. He said, suffering to me as little children. And when he said that, he wants us to be, have that innocence of heart as little children, and understanding that our parent is not going to lead us astray. Uh-oh. Okay, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And when we deal with Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, this is when Hawa was interacting with the serpent. And the serpent asked her a question in regards to the father saying, giving a certain instruction. And Hawa, as we know, said, the father said, do not eat of it and do not touch it. And as a result, we see that Hawa did not follow the instructions given by Adam. And then, because she didn't follow the instructions given by Adam, Adam chose to follow after Hawa, resulting in a level of punishment that came on both of them. Then we go to, and because of this, Adam did not repeat what was told to him. We read that earlier, how he was told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then from here, we get the Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. And Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. And this is talked about, do not add to the word of Yah. because that's what he did. He added to the word of Yah. He did not give the instructions that was given to him to Kawa, resulting in a punishment being instilled on him. And then we also get from that Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. And it's talking about if you add, if you take away from the word, then you're going to get punishments that was given to them and given to the Egyptians in Egypt. And that's dealing with Adam and Hawa, where the couple didn't work together. And she didn't really understand. She didn't go to her husband. She didn't go to Adam to get clarity, resulting in a level of punishment. Now we're going to go to Abraham and Sarah, following the advice of each other. We'll start with Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 6. And as you know, when we get into this particular story, this is Sarah advising Abraham to lay with her handmaiden. And see, before we get into this, or before this occurrence, the father had came to Abraham and told him that he was going to have a son. And he had made a promise with him. And Sarah, hearing this, believed that it was through another way and not through her because she was barren. As a result, Abraham listened to her and laid with her handmaiden. Then further down the line, you know, the young lady's son grew up, and then she realized that Hagar would inherit all the riches through her son because she hadn't had a son. But then we get to Genesis chapter 21, verse 9 to 13. And Sarah advises Abraham to send Hagar away. And Abraham, he didn't want to do that. It grieved him. He didn't want to go on the advice of his wife, even though he's seen the different trials and tribulations that she was going through. But that was based on a decision that she had already made. And he allowed her to go through that because that was a decision. He didn't make that null and void. But then the Most High had to come into play and told him that he needed to listen to his wife. And he listened to his wife, based on Yahweh telling him to listen to her. Then we come down to Abraham and Sarah again. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. And this story that we're talking about is Abimelech. This is not dealing with Abimelech. This is dealing with Sarah referring to Abraham as Adonai. And this is during the time in which, you know, the father had told them in regards to this him having a child. And she referred to him as Adonai. Also, one of the things that we have to pick up from this particular story, or the father of faith, is that Sarah referred to him as Adonai. And sometimes in a marriage, we have to refer to each other and understand the authority that has been given within a marriage. We also have to understand the authority of being a subordinate. See, because when we are a helper, we have to acknowledge our leadership. We have to acknowledge the authority that is above us. And Sarah right here is acknowledging the authority that is above her, which is her husband. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 20, verses 2 to 5. And this is dealing with Abimelech. And Sarah follows after Abraham's lead. See, in this particular story, Abraham tells the men of Abimelech, or the king Abimelech, that Sarah was his sister, knowing that Sarah was his wife. But because he knew the reputation of this particular king, he was trying to save his life. And Sarah followed along with him. She followed along with him because later down in the scriptures, she said that, that's my brother. And they worked together in regards to this because she acknowledged his authority. So from here, we're going to go to 1 Peter. We're going to read chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1, and we're going to read verse 7. And I have a little note here saying, couples working for the edification of the word. And it reads, verse 1, in the same way, wives, be subjection to your own husbands, so that even if any don't obey the word, they may be won by the behavior of their wives without a word. Verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. When here, because we have to understand as us being helpers of one another, sometimes the words don't get it, but the actions do. So we have to be in tune with the word and fulfilling the word, because in our efforts of fulfilling the word and doing what thus saith Yahweh, we can win one another over. Because as the word fills us up, those things that we see in our spouse, those things that we see in our subordinates, can help us become a better subordinate or a better wife to Yahushua, so that his light will shine forth through us, so that his spirit will fill us up. Because if we're constantly being disobedient to the word, that spirit will not dwell with us. As the scriptures say, what does light have to do with darkness? For we are constantly filling ourselves with darkness, the light of Yahushua will not fill us, and our services will no longer be needed. But as we remove the darkness from ourselves and allow the light to fill us up, then our services for Yahushua will increase. From here, we're going to go to Judges, chapter 13, verses 6 to 13. And these scriptures are in regards to Manoah's wife seeking her husband out after an encounter with a spirit. And this just goes back to the story that we started off with in Genesis 3:16. How Kawa was had an encounter with the serpent, and the serpent had questions for her, and she made a decision. But when we deal with Manoah's wife, she had an encounter with a spirit, and she went and she seeked out her husband and brought it to her husband's attention of what she had seen and what she had experienced. And her husband gave advice to her. At the same time, what he did, he prayed so that he can understand and get clarity. And when we deal with Manoah's wife, see, Manoah's wife was Samson. And we read about Samson, you know, he was a Nazarite at birth. So this is another, you know, example of what we were saying earlier. When in doubt, ask questions. When you lack understanding, ask questions. And this is an example of that. A couple working together to get understanding. See, we have to help one another. Now from here, we're going to go to Israel, the wife of Yahweh, his possession. We'll go start off in Jeremiah 31, verse 4. And this is talking about Israel being rebuilt. Because before, up until this point, you know, Israel was sinful. Israel was torn down. But Yahweh is saying to us, through Jeremiah, verse 4, again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin of Israel. Again, you shall be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth and dances of those who make merry. Letting us know that Israel will rise up again. Israel will be a chaste virgin and dance at her wedding ceremony. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim. Yahweh, your Elohim, has chosen you to be a people for his own possessions, above all people who are on the face of the earth. Proverbs 18:22. Whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of Yahweh. Understanding these things in regards to a helper. When a man finds a good wife, finds a good helper, he obtains favor from Yahweh. Why? Because he's doing what he's supposed to do for his wife. And she's doing what she's supposed to do for her husband. They're working together and bringing honor to Yahweh. So the more we work together as couples, the more we work together as that bride, the more we work together, as the more glory we bring to Yahweh. The more glory we bring to Yah. For we're doing what we're supposed to do as good helpers. Spreading the word of truth. Aiding him. And bringing light to this darkened world. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A worthy woman is the crown of her husband. Graceful wife is as rotten in his bones. See, when we as that church are doing right by Yahweh, giving honor and showing Yahushua, we're giving honor to Yah. But when we don't do what we're supposed to do as Israel, as that wife, we bring shame to the God in whom we serve. We bring shame to Yahushua. We make vain what we profess. Proverbs 14:1, and it reads, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. See, we represent the house of Yah. And as we cleanse our ways with that law, statute, and judgment, we're building up a righteous house. But with our foolish deeds and our selfish desires, we tear down our own house. We tear down our own mind. Because what we do is turn away from the good ways of Yah. We turn away from that perfect sacrifice and believe that we are a good sacrifice. As a result, we show ourselves to be foolish. So family, let us be good helpers to Yahushua. Let us be obedient. Let us listen. Let us not add to what he has said, but listen to what he has said. And do as he say. As Yahweh said in his word, obedience is better than sacrifice. But when we sacrifice ourselves, that whole burnt offering, we sacrifice ourselves so that Yahushua can live. We sacrifice ourselves to listen to the word of Yah. We're helping to bring humanity back to Yah. And we know that all of humanity won't make it, but those whom he's chosen will make it if they believe and if they stay the course, if they endure to the end. Let us be interdependent on Yahushua. Let us seek assistance when we need it. Let us as couples work together to do the will of Yahushua. Working hand to hand, understanding the authority that has been given. Understanding the structure that has been laid out. Not try to circumvent the structure, but stay within it. Family, I repeat the beginning of this topic of the day. Who am I? A helper to? Are you a helper to Yahushua? Or are you a helper to yourself? And that concludes the lesson for today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into yet another Sabbath day. We thank thee for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. We thank you for your protection. We thank thee for forgiving us for the sins we've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. Father, we thank you for your healing that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. But ultimately, we thank you for thy son, Yahushua, and what he has done for us. May we continue to look to him for our help. May we continue to look to him for our protection. May we continue to look to him for your wisdom. Father, we ask of thee to open the eyes and the mind of the teacher in the morning. Bring understanding of your word to his mind so he too can bring forth your words of wisdom and care to your people. Father, we ask that thee continue to bless Israel throughout the course of this night, protecting them as they slumber, protecting them in their conscious mind as well as their unconscious mind. We ask these things, O Father, God, in the name of Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom. Shalom.
Keep.